So how many of you have tried to get better? How about before you became born again? Maybe you heard about the gospel and you thought, sounds like a good idea, but you decided you needed to stop drinking too much or smoking or something else, pornography, whatever, so you could actually come to Jesus. How did that plan work? I know I tried to stop fighting with my brother. That worked for maybe a day. But God calls us just where we are, and we just have to trust Him. So that's what this passage is about that we're going to look at today. It's one of the best and clearest passages about the progression of the believer from being dead in your sins to being alive in Christ and serving faithfully in a job that He has made for you. And an interesting fact, this passage is the very passage that Gary was teaching from when Colleen and I came to Trinity Church. Actually, the first time we sat in a true body of believers. So it's a very special passage to us. So open your Bibles to Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. This passage is written by the apostles of the Gentiles, our apostle, Paul. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by children, by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You, me, all of us were born dead. You didn't think of that, did you? Probably, but you were dead when you were alive, as a little baby. The passage says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But worse than that, we were by nature children of wrath. The only thing we deserved was God's wrath, which is everlasting hell. You might ask, why were we born deserving wrath and hell? Babies are born not having done anything, really. But remember what God said to Adam and Eve. He told them that if they ate fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. And they would die the very day they ate it. And they did die. They became spiritually dead, separated from God. And they were unable to do good or seek God. And they hid from Him in shame. And that spiritual inheritance is, that death is our spiritual inheritance. Paul explains in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 that because of Adam, we all died. Because Adam is our first father, death is our legacy. And we need a new father who can make our spirits alive again. As probably most of you know, I grew up in a different denomination. Seventh-day Adventism. We were taught that Adam and Eve began to die on that day, making God's statement a little less than accurate. But Adventists don't believe that we have a human spirit that can be separated from the body. So they don't understand spiritual death and also spiritual life, the truth that we can be born again and made alive. To Adventists like I was, human death is purely physical, and spiritual death is more of a mental attitude and bad genetics that cause us to have propensities to sin. I did not understand that those who are dead and never respond to God's call will eventually suffer eternally, like those at the end of the age who worship the beast. So let's go to Revelation 14, 10, and 11. This is the reality that John describes. He also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured out full strength into the cup of his anger, and will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. In my past, I did not believe a good God could do that. Just for a few years of sinning, how could a good God do that? I believe those words were a metaphor for wicked people suffering until they burned up. The Bible tells us the truth, though. Our natural position before our holy God is that we were born into a lost race. We had no merit in ourselves to change that destiny. We were dead men walking, as the saying goes. A little story about my being born. I was born in an Adventist hospital on Sabbath. So I was a good Adventist. I was born 1 month early, but because my parents couldn't afford the expensive hospital care that premature babies often need, the doctor declared me healthy enough, so I was sent home. And my mom later told me I looked really awful. I don't know, premature babies don't look that great. I looked really bad. I had no forehead, she said. She thought I looked like a devil child. Pretty bad. But the Adventist prophet, Ellen White, said that Satan has a sinister, sloping forehead. And I reminded my mother of that description. But, no fear, that assessment was not far from reality. Indeed, I was born into the kingdom of darkness, just like all of us. And just like all of us, I needed to be saved. So let's go back to our passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Did you get that? When we were dead, God made us alive together with Christ. We didn't have to clean up first. God gives us life in Christ when we are dead. Back to my story. My memories of my religious upbringing centered around our Adventist, more than our prophet is what she called herself, Ellen G. White. And we had worship 2 times a day. Morning worship before breakfast was always involved a short devotional reading from the prophet. And at bedtime, we pulled out the Sabbath School Quarterly and read that, which involved a Bible text and then a short commentary, usually based on the prophet again. But during that time, I began to realize that I wanted to belong to Jesus. And I was about 7 when I got a Bible for Christmas. Still have it. I carried it proudly to church each Sabbath. I tried to read it, but 7-year-olds, when you get to about Exodus, it gets pretty bad. All those strange statutes and laws that were given to the Israelites. And then when I was 10, I was sent to summer camp at Wawona in Yosemite. At the first meeting around the campfire, I prayed to God to forgive me and to make me his. The camp pastor prayed a prayer that was a little bit strange, but he prayed that if any of the kids there needed to get right with God, they wouldn't be able to sleep that night. So here I am in a strange place. I went to bed, strange cabin, but I slept better than I could ever remember sleeping that night. So that was my first glimmer of hope, that salvation was a gift and not by works. I realize now that God was calling me, even when I was a child. But I still thought that works were somehow a part of that salvation package. These works included Saturday Sabbath observance, vegetarianism, and a lot more. But that experience at camp showed me that God was where the power was, not my works. If you are sitting here in church looking alive, and indeed you all look alive, but you know inside that you are dead in your sins, this is a great time to respond to God's call. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Trust his death, burial, and resurrection. That his death has been enough to pay for all the wrath that you deserve. Let's go back to our text. Verse 5. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Not only is it by grace that we are saved, not by works or cleaning up, but we are spiritually seated with our Lord Jesus in heavenly places. This promise is real. Do you live in a tiny apartment, or is your house on a street with drug deals or something else you don't like? This earth is not your home. If you have believed and trusted in Jesus, you are always with him in spiritual, heavenly places. That's a spiritual reality. But someday, when the Lord Jesus raptures us, it'll also be a physical one. So let's look at verse 7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This reality that we experience in Christ is for the purpose of showing the riches of God's grace, which cannot be measured. His kindness to us in making us alive in Jesus and giving us salvation is God's exhibit A of his grace, which he displays through all the ages. A couple stories of the difference that being born again made in my life. I like to go to the beach, but I really hated the people that were there. We'd go down to the beach, and there'd be thousands of people on my favorite beach, and I would just walk along the water, resenting all the people I had to go around, and wishing they'd all stay home, because, you know, that's where they should be. But after I was born again, not even thinking about it, we went to that same beach, walked out to where the water was coming in, and started walking down the beach, and I realized that everything was different. I saw those people differently. I loved them. I was glad they were there. I realized that my role in life is to give them the gospel, to live a life that draws them to Jesus. It was shocking. Another story. I read my Bible even when I was 7. And I read lots of passages. I tried to understand. But after I was born again, it was amazing. The words just popped off the page. It was like I hadn't ever seen them before. The Holy Spirit was opening my eyes and my spirit to what was in the Bible. And it was all new, and it was real, and I could trust it. Let's go back to our verse. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This makes it absolutely clear in which direction the good stuff is flowing. The passage clearly states that even the required faith is a gift of God. We do not generate our own faith. God gives us faith that we need to believe and trust in Jesus. There is nothing we have to do to get this amazing kindness of our Lord Jesus. But God doesn't stop there with simply saving us. Once he makes us new people, he gives us eternal life, he gives us another gift. He gives us work. Is that a good gift? Work is a good gift. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So back to my story. My training as an Adventist included not swimming or riding my bike on Sabbath or anything else that might distract me from this holy day. I was also taught that I needed to eat the Eden diet. Ever heard of the Eden diet? It's only vegetables, fruits, and nuts. And grains, I guess, sometimes. So I was a vegetarian. And we didn't play with regular playing cards. We didn't go to bowling alleys or movie theaters or even the circus, except for there was one time when my teacher took the class to a circus and my parents found out about it later, and boy, was she ticked. The way we dressed was also important. Our prophet wrote counsels against wearing tight clothing or belts, so I had to wear suspenders to grade school for a while. There were other things that we were compelled to do. One of the most important, give 10%. And we were strongly encouraged to give 20%, double tithe. The really good ones did that. All these do's and don'ts were the works I did in my past. Are these the good works that we are created to do? I would say they're not. These were works of the flesh. They were detailed by a modern prophet and required by a false religion. Furthermore, there are civic clubs, neighborhood watch groups, ladies' quilting clubs, homeless feeding programs, all kinds of other things, groups that do good works. And these good deeds are done by people who aren't necessarily born again. But God makes us alive when he saves us so that we can do the work that he prepared for us beforehand. What a wonderful and gracious God we have to do that. He saves us, he makes us alive, he gives us work, prepared specifically for us. It all comes from the hand of our Father. This subject of good works is often misunderstood. Since the works sometimes may look the same, how can we tell the difference between works of the flesh and works of God? As an Adventist, I believe that all these works I did demonstrated that I loved God. They were my proof that I was right. But Jesus told us the difference between works of the flesh and works of God in Matthew 7, 22 to 23. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. You depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" God's works are his gifts to us, and they flow out of a life that has made us alive in Jesus. Works of the flesh flow out of a human heart that has not trusted Jesus and is not born again. When we believe Jesus and trust his blood to pay for our sins, God gives us his new life, and he gives us work. And he asks us to trust him, and he uses us to glorify him. So you may wonder, what is the work that God has prepared for me? The New Testament gives us some examples. 1 Peter 2:9. We're told that we are chosen so that we may proclaim the excellencies of our God who called us out of darkness. So proclaiming excellencies. The ministry that I lead calls people out of a false religion. And it's really fun to witness people as they come out. They can't help but tell others the awesome change that they've experienced by believing and trusting in Jesus. They can't stop telling of God's excellencies. That's a work that God prepares for us. In Hebrews 3:13, the writer tells us of another work that we're called to do. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So you can help someone keep from being hardened by sin by teaching and encouraging them. How many of you have felt down, or maybe you were even considering sin, and a brother or sister of the church gave you wise counsel and you were encouraged? We are in the body to do the work that builds up the body, and that's each other. Let's look at Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. By bearing each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. I was raised to believe that my greatest efforts should be directed towards the task of keeping the Ten Commandments, which of course included the big number 4. And this would result in vindicating God's character. Can you believe it? A creature vindicating the Creator. But here we find that we can fulfill Christ's law by bearing one another's burdens. And we can only do that by having Jesus' life in us. And there's no hint of the old covenant here, is there? Remember the judgment scene that Jesus taught about in Matthew 25? He talked about two groups of people, those on his right and those on his left. Those on his right were saved, the ones who knew God, and they did good works. Those works included feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, welcoming strangers, giving clothes to the naked, visiting the sick and those in prison. Those on the left, on the other hand, had not cared for the people who had crossed their paths. The difference between these two groups was their condition. The ones who cared for people were alive in Christ. The ones who didn't recognize those who needed their help were dead in their sins. And God said he did not know them. So when God makes us alive in Christ, he makes us new creations. Our new birth is his workmanship. And he gives us new life in order to do good works. And Paul even talks about how doing God's work looks in a local church. In Romans 12, he teaches us how the church body works together, each member using his or her unique abilities to do the work God has assigned each one. Much like our bodies have many parts, but all the parts work together to sustain our life. Sometimes the work God gives us may seem mundane and repetitive, maybe even boring, yet it is what God gives us. Sometimes he may be just home changing diapers or disciplining your kids or mowing your lawn or caring for your elderly parent or changing the plumbing in a sink in our new church space or choosing paint colors for the walls in our new worship room. God asks us to honor him by serving each other joyfully. So Ephesians 2:10 tells us two important things. God creates us new in Jesus, and this new life is his preparation of us to do his work. In other words, our new life includes God's redeeming everything in our past for his glory so that in him we are equipped to do the work he planned for us to do. So let's go back to our passage, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When I was still wandering in the wilderness of occultic religion, even though I didn't know it, God was preparing me for the work he would eventually give me. So here's a brief story of how that happened. When I enrolled at Pacific Union College, an Adventist college in Northern California, all I could think about was being a music teacher. Can you believe it? I studied music history, theory, composition, conducting, and I practiced endlessly on my trombone. Then God led me through a journey of changing majors several times, in which I learned printing, photography, news writing, and ultimately I graduated with a degree in public relations. But of course, that's not the end of my education. I even took an accounting class after I graduated, which I didn't know why, but it was kind of random, but I took it. And then my jobs. My first job God took me to was at the headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church for the five-state Pacific Southwest. I ran the print shop, and I designed educational materials for all the departments in that headquarters there. But God was also teaching me about the inside of Adventism, how the leadership worked together, how things happened in behind their office doors, and how the machinery of the organization functions. I learned things that most young Adventists never learn. And then God moved me to an Adventist publisher. This publisher had a contract with the church to produce all the Sabbath school teaching lessons for the high school age students. So I worked under an amazing art director who taught me all the principles of designing and laying out publications. And then my third job, this was when I moved to this area, I was hired as art director at Quiet Hour Ministries in Redlands. And there I was in charge of designing all the printed products, their magazines, their books, their pamphlets, advertisements. God was training me right inside Adventism. And then I had a new job at Loma Linda University, the School of Dentistry, Educational Support Services. Later, I became the director of that department, and there I learned by experience how to lead a team of workers in producing educational art, movies, books, and even did some educational programming. At each point in my life, God was leading me and teaching me, just like He does you. He leads us and teaches us for the work He's prepared for us. So do you feel like you aren't useful? That the work God has given you doesn't matter? Never fear. God prepared the work for you to do. He knows before you are born the life you will live and the work you will do. He doesn't waste anything. Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Every day of your life is formed before you were even alive. God not only plans the work for us to do, but He knows every day that leads you to that work. We can trust God with our whole life, no matter what stage of life you are in. Some of you just starting out, some toward the end. I'm kind of that latter part, right? In Hebrews 12:10-11, the writer explains that the discouragement and despair we sometimes feel is part of God's teaching us to trust Him so that we will do what He asks us to do. Here's the verse. "He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Sometimes our discipline seems unrelated to our work for the Lord, but He is teaching us to trust Him and to learn to live by His word as His Spirit convicts us. So back to my story. God taught me to wait for Him all those years and trust His timing. As I continued to work at Loma Linda, as it got more hostile. In June 2006, I was fired for cause. I was fired because I was working with former Adventist Fellowship and Proclamation Magazine. And the day I was fired was a really interesting day. I sensed it was coming. But the day that it happened, when I got to work, attempted to punch in, the computer said there was no record, which meant they had already fired me. So I knew all day I'd been fired, so I had a chance to go visit my friends in the school and talk to them, not telling them I was leaving, but in a way saying goodbye. And then when I walked across campus to my boss's office, as I walked out the door, I had the most powerful sense that God was with me. I felt like people, there were like, God was walking with me as I walked across the campus. And after I was fired, I had no income for 4 months and didn't know what I would do next. My wife reminds me that I seemed a bit depressed. I didn't shave and shower very often, and I didn't get up on time. But God had prepared me for the next step. And 4 months later, I was hired full-time with this ministry that I'm working with to help others leave the religion that I grew up in, which God had prepared me for. So every day, I'm using all those skills that I learned, starting with college, all the way through my life, to do what I do, the work that God has prepared for me. Moreover, this knowledge of the dark core of Adventism drove me and a group of us to dream of a biblical church here in this town. Right in this town where I used to go to work and worship every Saturday. And now by God's grace, with the help of lots of people, we are here together in Loma Linda. And we are worshiping in the shadow of something that's worse than it looks. A health sciences university that is dedicated, I want you to understand this, dedicated to the pagan belief that man is only physical and that there is no hell to fear. So, in summary of what I've said today, number one, we are born dead in sin. Our spirits are dead, and each one of us is by nature a child of wrath, following the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We are born and condemned to eternal hell. But number two, God intervenes in our hopeless state. Because Jesus came into our condemned world and died the death that sin demanded, God raised him from the dead. Now, when we believe, we are raised to new life in Christ. Not only does he raise us to new life, he seats us spiritually with Christ in heavenly places. Number three, our new life is a miracle. It has nothing at all to do with any work we do. We are saved by his grace through faith, and even our faith is a gift that he gives us. We never can say that we are saved because we pleased God, worked hard, or did our best. All things I used to think. We have faith because God gives us faith, and we are saved because God raises us to life in his Son. And finally, number four, when we are born again, our new life is God's workmanship. When he gives us new life in Christ, he creates for us his work. Our new life and his spirit in us equip us to the work which he gives us. When we are still dead in our sin, the Lord knows who we will become and what he will give us to do. He prepares us for our work, and he prepares the work for us. So let us thank God for rescuing us from certain death, for making us alive in Jesus, and for equipping us for his purpose. This week, let's walk in these works which God has prepared us to do.